And I think it's very important to stand back mm-hmm. and not to jump in too soon. That's hard because we have, yeah. in a way, we have, that's tough when you have students struggling, but it's that balance that sometimes you have to be not helpful to be helpful, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. But I think that's really important.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Today is a special bonus episode. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for teachers and writing and sharing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. Now, if you're a regular listener of the podcast, if you tune in each week, you might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast. And today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Arduino Education. And I'm so excited to bring you another one of these special bonus episodes on a Sunday. Before we jump into today's episode and you hear from our special guest, just a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, or click on the podcast button for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you're listening today. And it'll take you to all of the resources that I mentioned as you are listening in to this episode. This episode is sponsored by Arduino Education, and I'm so pleased to be partnering with them because of their ethos of empowering students on their STEAM learning journey, all the way from middle school to university. Arduino Education not only supports students, but also educators with the hands-on solutions they need to feel confident in delivering successful online and in-class STEAM lessons. The guided training resources, ideas, and tips from the thriving Arduino community help educators boost students' STEAM skills, as well as soft skills like communication, collaboration, and problem solving. Today's episode is titled Why Hands-On Learning is Crucial, bonus episode with Arduino. And today you'll hear from Alan Bates, a physics teacher who has lots of great tips and ideas to share about hands-on learning. Alan talks about his work in the physics classroom, and if you're exploring any type of STEAM exploration this year, if you're thinking about hands-on learning in any discipline, especially within the sciences, I know his tips will come in handy, and you're going to hear about his experience with Arduino devices during our conversation too. So let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so excited to jump into this topic with you. But before we do, share with us a bit, what is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me here, Monica. I'm a physics teacher. I'm based in the UK. And essentially, my everyday work is basically I teach physics to 14 to 18-year-olds mm-hmm. in the national curriculum and also in the international baccalaureate program. So my everyday is basically instruction, learning, being with students in the physics lab, but also making it as meaningful and useful as possible.
And that's such a, you know, such a big part of what we're going to talk about today, right? Making things meaningful and useful for students. And, you know, today, as we talk about this concept of hands-on learning, what does it really mean to have a hands-on learning experience?
Yeah, for me, I believe it's also looking at my own experience when I was a student. It's, of course, you learn a lot of theoretical material, but it's a chance to apply that uh-huh. and also discover it for yourself. Because sometimes, you know, traditional instruction is like, this is a rule, this is a law. But it's nothing, what you say, the moment when you discover that for yourself, if it's true measurement, if it's true deduction or analysis, it's just the value is just immense, I think, when a student discovers or finds out a certain rule or behavior in a physical system, I say by themselves, in a group or in a team. And that's not just kind of given to you, but you discover it. As I say, it's a discovery. And I think that's what essentially science is and what it should be.
Yeah. And just, you know, that idea of discovery, of applying what we've learned, right? Like you said, we can read about it, but until we're in that moment and we have to make a decision or we make an observation of something that we see, right? It's a completely different experience than just reading about something or keeping it really static and on a page. So, you know, how can these hands-on learning experiences where kids really can apply their theoretical knowledge, right? How can that help them in real world situations?
Sure. I mean, if you look at like different national curricula across the globe, one of the big aspects is STEAM, it's science and engineering skills. I'm not teaching them separately, the STEAM skills, as a kind of an embedded collective of skills. And I think that's really, really important because we are in a multidisciplinary world. We should be preparing students for that world where a physicist is not just a physicist, an engineer is not an engineer, an artist is not solely an artist, that we need. The world needs us more than ever now is this kind of combination of skills as students go forward. So I think this approach, apart from your educational within physics, I think it's the whole interdisciplinary approach using Arduino tools and solutions where students design an instrument rather than being given an instrument. They design a system. So they're looking at the engineering, but it doesn't just stop there. They use that design or sensor to conduct an investigation in physics. It could be an open-ended investigation. It could be a standard investigation, but they're using something that they've made or designed and they're actually using it in a meaningful way. And they're, you know, getting, what you say, successful results, gathering successful data. And I think that's very, very rewarding. It's not like, here's an instrument, here's a set of instructions, off you go, follow this list and do this and, you know, plot this graph and this is your conclusion. And we all know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. What I love about it is, no, here you are. Here's your Arduino, an Arduino board or the Arduino Science Journal. These are the sensors you have. Look at this investigation in your own personal way. And that's what I love about it as well, the hands-on. It's kind of guiding, but not instructing completely, not to give a checklist of instructions, but to give like expectations of what the activity is or what you expect on the outcome, but to give students that freedom within there to find their way to, you know, to find their own personal approach, to develop their own learning styles. In doing that, they're going to learn a lot about engineering. They're going to learn a lot about physics, mathematics. And of course, they can be very creative in an artistic way if they're looking at something aesthetic, where they have to produce something that's also aesthetically pleasing. So I find it's a wonderful opportunity to relook at how we do experiments in physics.
Yeah. I love the emphasis that you place there, Alan, just on the interdisciplinary components and how these things don't happen in a silo, right? Outside of the classroom, right? You really do need to have a combination of skills, the design component, right? As you're engineering something, you're making something to apply it, to collect specific information. And before we talk a little bit about some of the ways that teachers can prepare for hands-on learning experiences, I'd love to just think a bit, and maybe you can explain for us, you know, what is the difference there between, like, you know, you mentioned following steps, like you're going to go through this process, or designing your own way to collect information? Tell us a little bit about the Arduino boards and Science Journal app and those pieces, just to help kind of set the context as we talk about preparing for hands-on learning.
Sure, sure. Well, Arduino offers such a wide range of solutions. For example, Arduino Education, that's not only its hardware, its software, its learning content, and it's also dedicated expert support. So that's wonderful about the whole, what you say, range of Arduino solutions. So, I mean, it really depends on you, but I would say there are two approaches. One, you can use the Arduino boards where you could code. And I can give you an example where you know, as students do that, where they've made, let's say, a temperature sensor. The temperature sensor is they can use a thermistor, they would use a voltage divider circuit, and they would use an Arduino board, and they would code the board to sample temperature measurements every so often. So they'd have complete control on when they want to sample the readings, when they want to take readings, for how long, and then how they display that. They can display it numerically, they can display it on a graph. So there's some, that's just some, you know, something straightforward using the Arduino boards, but that would require coding. And that's traditional, that's traditionally been used in Arduino up until recently. And what I'm starting to look at more and more in the last year or so is the Arduino Science Journal app.
Primarily
because you don't need coding experience. And I think this is a big step forward because we're saying, okay, we Arduino have this solution. Traditionally, we looked at coding, we looked at Maker, the whole approach, the STEAM. And now we're saying, okay, it's still there to steam, but you don't have to be a coder. So that means these Arduino tools and solutions are just more open to a wider range of users, be it educators, be it students. So you don't need that prerequisite of being a coder. So they're just alternatives. Of course, it depends how you want to use it. You can look at encoding with the Arduino Uno boards or the Maker boards, or you can go for the Science Journal, which also communicates with the Maker board and the Nano BLE Sense board as well. So there are possibilities, but recently I'm looking at how Arduino tools and solutions can be used without a prerequisite of coding. It's still there. If you want to code the boards, you can. However, my aim is, for example, I'm in a physics class teaching a group of 14-year-olds where I am in GCSE program. I say to myself, okay, I've got to finish this topic in this given time. However, I want to be as creative as possible and give students an opportunity to explore, to do this activity in a hands-on way. And I know there's a constraint there. So if I had to teach the students, the coding, it would take me considerably longer. Whereas I can say now the Science Journal app, which can be installed on a smart device, it could be an iPhone, an Android, it could be a tablet, and it basically links with the intrinsic sensors in the device. So that could be a light sensor, accelerometers, pressure, magnetic meter. It links with all of those. So basically you have these intrinsic sensors in the device. You have this Arduino app that basically links with them, and you essentially have a data logger, which does not require any coding. So the students have a data logger in their hand, doesn't cost anything, and you can start doing experiments that way. So it gives them much more freedom, I believe, in having this technology. They can do a wide range of experiments in a different kind of way where they wouldn't normally do it, or I would have to teach them coding first, and then it would take much longer, and then I'd be concerned about getting through that and based on the program and the timetable and that. So it's twofold. Of course, the coding approach can work well if you're in a club or you have a specific time for coding, where you're teaching, say, science or physics, the app, the Science Journal app, I think it's a perfect fit for educators and students because you can bypass the coding stage and get straight into the data logging using the sensors.
I'm so glad you mentioned those options for listeners. And, you know, I was just having a conversation yesterday morning about this idea of really, you know, maximizing ed tech and setting up everyone for success at the beginning of the year. And I do think that, you know, when there's something new that we're bringing in, right, there could be that co-learning experience for teachers. Like, I'm also going to learn this alongside of you. I don't have to know this, you know, extra piece before we jump in, right? Or there's the opportunity to use resources that are going to set up everyone for success right away, right? Where you don't need to necessarily invest that time and energy ahead of time to teach something else in order to teach the other thing, you know, which I think really sets us up for this next question. And, you know, would love to hear your, you know, your suggestions or your advice for how teachers should prepare for these hands-on learning experiences. Are there a few things they should do just to get ready for bringing something like this into their classroom?
Yeah, sure. Also from my own experience, I think spend a little time beforehand. I mean, keep it simple. Say, okay, I want to focus with, let's say, the Science Journal app. I want students to measure air pressure, atmospheric pressure with the intrinsic sensor, the barometer, walking up the staircase in the building in school at different heights. Okay. And of course, it's easier said than done. For the first time around, you have to go through it yourself. You have to look at, you know, how you record, how you save, how you extract the data, how you repeat the runs. So just like how you would do traditional physics measurements, you just have to get more familiar with the app. You're not changing physics. You're just changing how you measure using this technology, the Arduino tools. Now, and that's what I would say. Spend time. Also stay in touch with your other teachers. It could be, for example, the AAPT in the US. It could be on Twitter. There's a huge physics teacher following. And I've picked up so many ideas and shared. It's a symbiosis. A lot of teachers just share and gain information. It's a wonderful learning community out there. So just invest a little bit of time and just, you know, look around and ask around. I would say, you know, physics teachers are more than happy to share their experiences. So that's what I did a lot first. And of course, just play, you know, tinker with the device, play around. It's not a waste of time. If you're at home or in school, you know, record pressure over a day, record light intensity, record magnetic field strength. There's a lot of stuff you can do just exploring yourself first, become familiar, essentially. And it doesn't, as I said, the prerequisites are very little. It's just a smart device, no coding, install, and just play around, really. So that would be my first suggestion. And remember, initial experience, you're not going to be perfect.
Right.
You know, everyone knows about this in education. Yeah, we have aspirations the first time we use it. It mightn't meet, yeah, we mightn't get there, but it's just use the feedback, learn from your experiences, and you'll keep perfecting it. And of course, the best people to ask is the learners themselves, the students, and they're very quick to learn and they're very quick to give feedback and good feedback, because they are, that's what it's all about. It's all about them and how effectively they learn.
I'm so glad you mentioned that aspirational piece. That's language I've been using a lot recently, just around goal setting. Like, we can have these big, scary, right, aspirational goals. We can have this direction that we're headed in, but also, you know, how can we break it down into these attainable steps so that we can kind of get to that place? So yeah, I know I jumped in there, but would love to hear a little bit more about some of these pieces, you know, maybe some of the long-term benefits here.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the other things that we should take into consideration as we're preparing for these hands-on experiences?
Definitely. I mean, there is that way, you're weighing up long-term and short-term benefits, but in the long run, it is, I do recommend it. I would say, you know, try not go for the checklist when you provide instructions to students. Don't go for the checklist. There are some experiments you might need to do like that, but I suggest go for something, just say, this is what you're expected to do. For a couple of reasons, is just students learn to kind of implement it within group. I think the group aspect, the team aspect, is really important as well. How students learn in a social setting is really crucial. Also, I think in the course, the group setting, but also I'd say they have to develop their own learning styles. I think that's what's really important. If we enforce an approach or method, I think students, they may follow that successfully, but I think it's allowing that kind of, it's that delicate kind of balance between giving instruction, but not too much. And you have students have space, have an opportunity to explore, you know, to make mistakes, if that's what you want to call them. They're not really mistakes, but to, you know, to just make measurements, test preliminary data, or this doesn't work, this does. You know, it's unquantifiable, the benefits, for sure. It's hard to quantify that. But I think it's really important to allow that personal style, if it's an individual or it's a collective within a group. And I think it's very important to stand back and not to jump in too soon. That's hard, because we have, in a way, we have, that's tough when you have the students struggling, but it's that balance that sometimes you have to be not helpful to be helpful, if that makes sense. But I think that's really important. And that's something, again, that, you know, with more experience, you refine that more and more. And I think it's really important for the whole experience for the students. And that's it. And doing that allowed time. And sometimes that can be a challenge within the timetable of the day. Most teachers, if not all, we're in a hurry. We have a curriculum to get through. We probably have a standardized test and we have to hurry for that. But do set time aside. If you can, maybe if you need more time, arrange additional meeting time in a club, after school, something like that works as well for me. I do that too, sometimes after school. So the students, you know, are really keen to be there to continue the experiments. So you may need more time, but as I said, it's not a short-term benefit. The long-term benefits, I believe, are huge. And again, I think what's really important for me is the creativity, the innovation, is for students. It's okay, you might say a student did this experiment, but if students went beyond and did something quite innovative, quite personal and creative. And again, we're talking about the STEAM skills. We're talking about the A in the STEAM, maybe. We're talking maybe, you know, doing something interesting, the analysis, using some, you know, mathematical tools. It could be something, depends on you, what you're looking for. But reward the innovation. It could be with extra credit. It could be with some kind of bonus. But I would, in a scoring rubric, I would definitely emphasize the innovation, because that's what we're looking for also. Not only, you know, as we said, the other aspects and criteria, but we're also looking for innovation. And it can be on many different levels. It could be on a team level, how they, you know, the group participate collectively, or it could be something they did within the, and you know, the design with the data collection, the analysis. But do your best really to reward innovation, because, you know, that's what we're looking for more and more, I think, is that not just the ordinary, just reward the extraordinary too.
I love that idea of just really being patient in our own work, right? When we're supporting students, right? Be helpful by being unhelpful in some moments.
Yes.
I think that's a really great reminder there. And just this idea of providing a few different options for creative outputs for students, even, you know, giving them that choice in the way they might present or share their results. Sure. Or, you know, what conclusions they've come to. There's just so many layers there where, even as you mentioned, right, we can make a STEAM connection and think about the creativity component there too. So, you know, Alan, tell us a little bit more about how you became involved with Orgino Education.
Yeah, it was something I came across quite a few years ago now in a Makescene journal. Mm-hmm. And the Makescene, you know, it's full of makers. And I came across over 10 years ago, it was a guy had an article and he designed like Garduino, a kind of automated garden in a greenhouse that was monitoring humidity, soil moisture. And I was saying, how is this possible? You know, because, you know, microcontrollers are usually, you know, traditionally quite expensive tools. If you look a generation ago, you know, it would cost quite a lot. And then I discovered this Arduino, and I was living in Italy at the time. I said, this word sounds Italian. And, you know, little did I know at that time that I discovered it was a company based in Turin in Italy. And so I says, I ordered a kit, starter kit. And it was one summer, you know, during the summer holidays, I sat down and I got the starter kit, I had the manual, I had the breadboard, all the electronic pieces, and I got working on the coding. So it's basically coding, it's the hardware and software, and then making simple sensors. And that's how I got to play around with it myself like that and get to, uh-huh. basically I got to know it. And I said, this has huge applications in education, I thought to myself. I said, I can do a lot with my students. I says, okay, I could be stuck for time in some of my courses. But then at that time, I was teaching the International Baccalaureate. And it's quite an interesting curriculum, the International Baccalaureate, because not all the assessment is 100% based on a final exam. In the physics course, they give 20% for this open-ended investigation.
Okay.
And up to 10 hours of student time developing. And it's not a short-term investigation. It's something that takes place over time. So I thought, I said, this is a perfect opportunity to, you know, utilize the Arduino board, the Uno, for students to, you know, develop or design a sensor or a controller system. And that's how I started using it. Mm-hmm. And of course, I needed that extended time. And additional to that, the IB also requires students to do something called an extended essay. Mm-hmm. An extended essay can be in any of the six subjects the students take, but some of the students go for a physics extended essay. And they're typically students that will go on and do physics as a major, or engineering, or physical science at uni. So I found this was an opportunity, again, that was, you know, many hours of extended research that students take on this essay. So in the beginning, I found that the Arduino Uno and the starter kit was a perfect match for what I was looking for. And that's how I started using it in that context. Again, more open-ended, where I had time also for students to learn the coding. Even though it was quite simple coding with the Arduino board and the IDE, it was just an opportunity to use it in a different way, make a controller, a heater controller. For example, I can give an example. A student, yeah. An ex-student of mine, he was interested in architecture. He was interested in engineering. So he designed a structure, many structures, that they had a similar volume, different, like a 3D, like a room, but different surface areas. And he had a heater inside and he had a, you know, temperature, a thermometer, a temperature sensor. And he used an Arduino board to turn and on off the heater based on the target temperature of the room. And what he wanted to investigate was which room is most efficient in staying warm. That's just one example of a student, high school student, says, okay, I want to do this more advanced engineering project. I'm going to invest a little bit more time. I'm going to invest also a little bit more time. And we sat down together and got through it. And after a week or two, completely autonomous, independent, the student was only really coming to ask for small bits of advice. He was basically, as I say, autonomous and independent in a short period of time. And that was really impressive. I think the next stage in my Arduino experience came during the COVID lockdown, where I was looking for, I tried to, again, I think it was a challenge for all of us, was to make our students, to engage them as much as possible, despite they were on a screen, they were at home. And I came across the Science Journal app. And that was something I came across because of the Arduino Science Kit Physics Lab that was produced, released in 2019. And the idea of integrating the Arduino boards with the Science Journal app. And then I thought to myself, it's lockdown. The students had iPads or iPhones or Androids. And I says, how can I, you know, ask students to do experiments at home? And I says, this is ideal because science is about the experiment, by the experience, hands-on. So I said, how can I do this? And I decided to look deeper into what the science journal offered, and it really fit the needs. So that's how I kind of started to use it. It was necessity,
yeah,
for sure. But out of that, I mean, came a lot of creativity, came a lot of engagement, and I, you know, the students did continue to do science and experience hands-on activities outside the lab. So that was really, that was quite rewarding, I'd say, yeah. Especially then when we came back after the lockdown and I met up with the students and we're back to classroom learning to see, did we miss much? Do we have to catch up? And I found that having that kind of experience on their side was really important for them not to stop.
Yeah, and just have that, right, like you said, not to stop, the uninterrupted learning experience, still being able to maintain some of these hands-on and the simulations and kind of all those pieces. So, you know, we're going to link out in the show notes so everyone can learn more about your work and learn more about Arduino Education and all the things that they offer. But can you just kind of sum up for us a little bit, what exactly do they offer schools and districts? What can someone find when they click on the link that's going to be right here in the show notes?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd say just generally they offer what we call Arduino solutions. Uh-huh. And that includes all necessary learning content. That includes the hardware, the boards, the software, the app, and the IDE, and dedicated expert support. That's something that Arduino guarantees. And for sure, teachers can feel comfortable and at ease in delivering STEAM lessons online or in the class. And that's a guarantee. You know, the support that Arduino offers is fantastic. I've constantly used it. And now, for example, I'm working with Arduino to develop a range of physics demonstrations and investigations with the Science Journal app. And the idea, again, is to make it approachable and easy to use for every physics educator and student, again, without prerequisites by installing the app. And these experiments are quite interesting. Some of them are a revisit of traditional experiments, mm-hmm. and with an Arduino twist, of course. And some of them are completely new experiments designed with the app itself, with the Science Journal app. And we're going to, you know, they're being posted on, you know, the Science Journal site. And, mm-hmm. you know, as you said, the link is included. There's a lot of really new experiments, as I say, that haven't been done before, and the app allows that. And a lot of reinterpretation, and with lots of opportunity for interpretation, mm-hmm. and open-ended approach. An open-ended approach for students, lots of hands-on possibilities. But again, the technology is accessible. It's this on a smart device. It's basically a lab in our own hands. It can be done in school, it can be done offline. So the lab is no longer confined to this physical space of the school. The lab is essentially everywhere if you have this data logger in your hands.
This is just so wonderful, Alan. I really appreciate just your perspective that you share, these examples that you share, these really, you know, relevant ways for people to think about hands-on learning experiences, ways to prep for them, where to go for more resources. And we'll link out to all the things for people to find. But thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you very much for having me here.
It was so much fun chatting with Alan on today's episode, and let's make this a tech easy with some key points from today's conversation. Walk through activities and play with new devices. Connect with a learning community. Consider the long-term benefits. Use guidelines instead of checklists, and let students work through challenges. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Arduino Education. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Arduino Education. Visit arduino.cc/education. That's arduino.cc/education to discover their range of STEAM solutions that include all necessary learning content, hardware, software, and dedicated support. You can use the code MONICABURNS2022 to get 20% off your first purchase. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like education or ed tech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for a new episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast.